Again, my name is Steve Elzinga, and we are in the Effective Communication class. And today, this lecture, we're going to ask the question, how can learning about communication change your life? I know you're taking these classes because you have a vision, you have a dream of being more involved in God's kingdom, being more prepared. Who knows what God might be calling you to? So maybe you're thinking of a career or a job, working in the church, or at least a part-time thing. But this class can not only help you do some of those things, but I think it can change literally every aspect of your life and the relationships that you have in your life. And in this lecture, I just want to give you a sort of an overview of how that might be true. Remember, communication is about connecting. So if you were to improve your communication skills, you could theoretically improve your connections, and your connections are everything. Communication basics. What does it take to communicate? Talking, listening, repeatedly. If you took the Getting Started class, which you had to do in order to take this class, then you are familiar with this. If you want to get to know someone, it takes talking, listening, repeatedly. You're getting to know me by listening. I'm not really getting to know you by talking. We need to do both of these things. We need to do the talking and the listening. You meet someone you never met before, you do a little talking, you do a little listening, it goes back and forth, and then you never see them again. You're not going to have much of a relationship with that person. So it has to be repeated over and over. The friends that you have, you do talking and listening, but you see them often. When I met my wife, I saw her, she looked good to me, and so I started talking to her. And she started talking to me. And we kept doing that. And over a 6-month period, we did a lot of talking and listening, repeatedly. And finally, after 6 months, a relationship blossomed out of all that talking and listening, and I asked her to marry me. And now we've been talking and listening for many decades. That's what it takes. You want to get to know somebody, you want to connect, it takes talking, listening, repeatedly. So I just want to quickly go over the 7 connections. Hopefully you're familiar with the 7 connections. But I just want to relate these connections to communication. So, first of all, your connection to God. It's the most important that you can have. Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. You want to connect with God. That's your most important connection. Then there's a connection to your spouse. If you're married, you have a spouse, this person is the most important person in your life. It takes talking, listening, repeatedly. But you don't have to understand each other's language. You may speak the same language, English or French or Spanish or whatever it might be. But there's another kind of language. Some people need a lot of words, and other people need a picture. Some people like to go deep. Some people are on the shallow end of the pool. What is the love language of your spouse? What speaks to them? Conflict, negotiating. How do you manage conflict in a marriage? Intentional connecting habits. What are the things that you do intentionally to have a better relationship to your spouse? Okay, then there's the connection to your family, understanding each child. You may have several children, but they're not all the same. They were raised in the same family, but they're not all the same. How do you understand each one and how they communicate and how they hear and listen? Discipline. How do you engage discipline? What is the communication of discipline? How do you communicate in such a way to your own children that they become disciplined in life? How do you give encouragement? Each one receives encouragement in a different way. How do you inspire your children to become all that God has in mind for them? Your connection to friends or a support group, that's connection three. How do you make friends? How do you keep the friends that you have? How do you get real friends that support you in the most important aspects of your life? Much of our connections in life are dependent on the support that we get and the environment that we find ourselves. Your connections in the kingdom. How do we connect to what God is doing, the church, and the church around the world, knowing what God is doing around the world, using your gifts and abilities to help beyond your local situation, beyond your local family. Your connections to the world, feeling comfortable engaging the world around you. Some people are isolated from the world. They sit in the church and with the church people, and they never get outside of that. Knowing how to effectively engage the world around you. So we're going to talk about, well, how do you share your faith? How do you start a conversation with a stranger in a spiritual way? How do you go from the trivial things to something that's more in-depth? Knowing and being confident with several ways that you could engage the world around you. So we'll look at various ways and means to share your faith. Well, what if you were to become more effective in the following communication skills? And I'm just going to give you a whole list. What if you became more effective in making conversation? You sit down with some people and you start talking and they enjoy the time they spend with you. What if you could become better at that? Or what if you were better at negotiating? That there's a problem, there's a situation, and we have to negotiate, we have to compromise, we have to give and take. In business, often you have to negotiate something. What if you were better at selling? Communication is really about selling. The needs of the person and the product that you have, and somehow you have to put those things together. What if you were better at conflict resolution in your family, in your business, in your church, in your community? What if you were better at that? Giving comfort, giving encouragement. What if you learned how to be a better encourager? I grew up in a family that wasn't very good at this. And so I didn't know how to do it. I have four boys. How do I encourage them? How do I not just criticize them and point out where they're failing, but how do I recognize that they're doing well and say something about it so that they keep doing it and they keep working at it? That's a skill. How do you give a challenge? How do you give a challenge in such a way that people don't feel like you're disappointed with them? A lot of times, you know, someone gives a challenge and it feels like you're not happy with me and that's why you're challenging me. How do I do it in a positive way that they feel good when I'm finished challenging them? Because I believe they can do it. How do you apologize? How do you get better at apologizing? How do you inspire? My son married a girl from Ecuador, and he's living there in Ecuador, and we were just there a month ago, and we went to one of the services there. It's a town of 15,000 people, and they have one Catholic cathedral that can hold 250 people. That's it. And there was about 190 people there, and the ritual, most of the service was the ritual, and the priest had 10 minutes. He had a homily for 10 minutes. And even though my Spanish isn't very good, I could tell he hadn't worked very hard at this. He was just going through the motions. He wasn't inspiring people to do anything. This was his 10 minutes to actually say something. I know a little bit of Spanish, but I was trying to learn a little bit of the native dialect. The people that lived in the mountains spoke Quechua, the Quechua Indians, and they spoke the language Quechua. And one of the workers was a Quechua Indian, and so he was trying to teach me some of their words and some of the language. And when we were driving by in the mountains, I would just yell out the window, "Aji Punja," which just means good morning. And the people would look back and they would be so surprised. These people have been put down. Everything is so negative. Everything is down. The church telling you that you're not living right and you got to do this and you got to do that. And the ritual. And no one is saying God loves you. And He has put you on this planet for a reason. You may be somebody and you haven't had all the advantages and you wonder how your life is going to go, but God has His eye on you. He could have created a world in which you didn't exist, but He didn't. He created this one, the world in which you exist, because He has a plan for you. How do you inspire people to grab hold of their life, to find out what God has for them? How do you rally people? How do you get people, a group of people, behind something? You got a project, something at church. How do you get everyone to sign up and be enthusiastic about what it is? How do you get people to follow? If you want to be a leader, you have to inspire people to follow. Leading questions. How do you ask questions that help lead in a certain direction? How do you spark interest in something? With just a sentence. So that people want to know more. We'll look at how to tell a story. In your opening line, if you open with the right words, people will listen to everything else that follows. How do you have clear reasoning so that when you speak, people understand that you've gone from here, and this goes to here, and this goes here? And they can follow what you're saying. And when they're done, someone said, "Well, what did he talk about?" They could say. How do you have clear reasoning? How do you put things in their proper order? How do you give comfort? How do you emotively listen? How do you listen to someone with all that you are? I once saw a cartoon. It's a little boy. He's coming up to his father. His father is reading the paper. And the boy is talking to the father. And the father isn't looking at the boy. And the boy finally says, "Dad, I want you to listen with your eyes. You're not even looking at me." Drawing out emotions. People have words, but there's emotions underneath those words. And how do you draw those emotions out? How do you listen a conflict away? You can have someone that is angry at you, that is upset about something in the church, for example, or at work, or wherever it might be. And you can actually listen the problem away. If you listen well, the person at the end will say something like, "Well, I know I was angry at you, but now I see that it's some issue that I have." I've done this, where all you're doing is listening and getting them to do all the talking, and they listen themselves right out of the problem. How do you use humor? If you look at two people talking anywhere on the street, you're out in public, within 3 minutes, someone's laughing. Humor. Makes a lot, sort of greases the wheels of communication. How do you go deep? A lot of communication is just shallow. What did you do? What do you like? Things like that. Rarely do you get to a deep conversation. How do you take something that's shallow and go to a deeper level with it? Unearthing the gold. How do you get to something significant? You know, we're only on this planet for 70, 80 years. Let's get to something important. What might be the result for your life if you learn how to become a more effective communicator? What might result in your life? You'll have more knowledge and opportunities to grow in its use. More opportunities to discover and use your God-given gifts. More success in all that God gives you to do. More possibilities of becoming an effective mentor and coach for other people. better job, more pay, more responsibility, more satisfaction, more influence, better marriage, better family life, closer to God, more satisfying friendships, more leadership opportunities in the community and the church, more opportunities to make a difference. So we've looked at what communication is. It's communicating with symbols. It's shared understanding for the purpose of connection. We looked at why we should study it, because God is all about connection. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He made us the same. We're one body. He made us for this. Miscommunication is what sin is all about, and God's grace is about getting the oneness back. And then we've looked at, you know, how communication can change your life. These are the things that we're going to explore over the next 11 weeks. I can't wait to take you on this journey with me.